A lot of sport going on. The NBA draft is on today, 10 o'clock. So our expectations are high, very high in actual fact, that Josh Giddey goes in the top 10. The love for Johnny is outstanding. We'll pass all that on to you. I don't know what part of Italy he's from.
South. Calabria.
South.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the south. Hey, you... We've just had some tweet, too, to say that the 76ers have just knocked back this deal that the Golden State Nuggets put to them. So
what
for
have
Ben
they put
Simmons,
forward?
All sorts of things. Unbelievable deal, but they've knocked it back. So, no, sorry, the 76ers put the deal to the Golden State Nuggets, and they said no, no cigar.
That's confused me. 76ers are asking the Warriors, or the Nuggets, for Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, number 7 and number 14, and two future first rounds.
That's right.
In a bench. Jeez, I won't have much left.
And hey, you just put me onto this Mac Andrew kid, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching the highlights. Goodness me, how tall is he?
Yeah, so a big, tall Sudanese lad who's a next-generation academy kid tied to Melbourne. But if he gets picked in the first 20 picks, then Melbourne can't bid on him.
Right.
So, like Jamari Ugahagan last year, he would, you know, they did Adelaide pick him at number one, so then the Bulldogs get the call on him. But that changed as a result of that. But, geez, he's on the AFL website. You can have a look at some of his highlights.
Athleticism.
Mm. So, big, tall, Sudanese lad who's got, and the way he handles the footy.
Oh,
it's a bit scary, isn't it?
How old is he? Is he 18, is he?
I think he'll go up pick 21, which the Demons can then match. I've got a question for you. And do the AFL have the right, I'm just trying to see the quote here, to tell AFL clubs how they can train and how they can't train? Because Luke Beveridge had this to say.
The AFL should never be in the business of telling clubs how they can train and how they can't train. Just because one club gets it wrong from a risk management point of view doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that every other club all of a sudden becomes vulnerable.
So that's on the back of the situation with Hawthorn and Lewis, where he was knocked out and doing a boxing training drill and missed, I think, 3 or 4 weeks in the end for the concussion. So the AFL now said, I don't think they've banned boxing altogether. They're going to put some protocols.
That's right. Now, I think they've got the right to say that, if you're going to have boxing, then don't be sparring, don't be hitting each other in the head, and don't be doing it without headgear. The AFL says they can still train with a boxing coach, provided that a set of recommendations from the AFL be applied. They don't want players sparring, hitting in the head, that sort of stuff. I think that's reasonable. That is a reasonable thing. And most clubs, look, you did boxing when you played. I did boxing.
Not much.
Oh, we did. We had a boxing coach. Nick Nefito did a great job. But we never hit each other in the head. We only did body punching, or we did in the gloves. So I don't understand the rationale behind players actually thumping into each other and hitting each other in the head as part of sparring. It just seems, in this day and age, given what we know about head trauma and that type of thing, it just seems like a ridiculous thing to be doing at training.
Well, if they've got some protocols around it, then fair enough.
Yeah, and, I don't think the AFL are trying to take control of club training and that type of thing and telling everybody what they should or shouldn't do. But I think given the publicity that's surrounded this, the publicity that's been around about CTE and concussion and the damage to players' minds and brains and that type of thing, I think it's a reasonable thing from the AFL to investigate it and then make some recommendations around this, build some framework around what you can and can't do around boxing training. I think that's reasonable.
I agree.
Oh, okay, you do agree. All right.
Yeah.
Charlie Curnow will play this weekend. He's going to line up for the Blues tonight. He'll pair up with Harry Mackay for the first time. This is what are your expectations? He's going to have to be rusty, isn't he?
Well, it depends who you listen to. Yeah, of course he'll be rusty. He'll
well, the blowing. Pace of the game. Like
he'll be blowing in the first 5 minutes and he'll think to himself, am I ever going to be fit enough to play this game again? That's what happens when you've been out for a long time. But he'll work his way through. I hope he gets through without one issue. That's my only hope for Charlie and for the Blues. And if he gets through without a physical issue, he will have moments in a game tonight that will remind everyone just what a prodigious talent he is. He'll take a mark or he'll do something athletically where the Carlton faithful will go, jeez, if we had him for the last year and a half, we mightn't be in this problem. But him and Harry just team up for it's the 24th time in 124 games.
You thought they might have brought him into the team for as some sort of a sugar hit. But
no.
They have no, but they haven't done that. They haven't done that because they've brought in Honey as well. He's the sugar. He's the sugar hit for the Blues this weekend.
You're working up to a joke.
Yes, I was working up to a little joke. Tim, yes, you'll find all sparring is banned. Pad work only. I think that's reasonable though. We didn't do sparring when we boxed at training. We only did sort of pad work and that type of thing. It was only like for cardiovascular stuff.
Text message. No boxing at training with gloves and head guard. But you can elbow someone in the head on game day.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Is the hypocrisy of all of that's exactly what we should be talking
about. How about you apply your standards to what happens on game day?
Now, there's been five great instances of that this year, and each one of them has only received a financial penalty.
And if you think that's lost on anyone, AFL, that's about the eighth message in about a minute that we've got from our audience who have made the same point. David just comes on, no boxing training's fine, but hitting guys with the elbows, okay? That's right. That's what you're opening. That's what we've opened ourselves up to as a code for our mealy-mouthed attitude to elbowing blokes in the head. Hey, Ross Lyon, did you read this? Brett Peake has spoken. Peake has played in the 2011? Drawn grand final and played the next week. Didn't play all that well. He's gone in for his meeting with Ross Lyon and Greg Hutchison, who was the footy manager at the time. And according to Brett, Ross said, for F's sake, has Peakey still got a contract for next year? Tear it up. And while you're at it, Peakey, get out of the room.
He said,
and he got up and walked out of the room, and he reckons it was fair enough, Brett Peake. How would that go down today, in today's society?
No, I don't think you get away with
that. The story got out today.
Yeah, he said he did a podcast, Peake. I think he said that he understood exactly what Ross Lyon was saying at the time, and he agreed with him. And then he contacted Ross Lyon, and they sat down, had a cup of coffee, and Ross Lyon said,
contacted him for coffee.
Okay, he said, look, I might have gone a bit hard.
Ross said, I think I got a bit hard. You want to have a coffee? And Brett goes, no, you didn't. No, I don't really want to have a coffee.
Oh, okay. Well, I misread that.
Yeah, oh, did you ever? Peter's on the road. G'day, Pete. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
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 Yes, Gary. You're on. You're on the wireless, Pete.
Oh, God, I bloody got on nice and quick. Gary, I just wanted to talk about Ross Lyon's comments about Charlie Curnow. If he's the coach in waiting, he doesn't want to see his Ferrari banged up in the next 4 weeks.
Possibly, but I don't know whether Ross is the coach he's waiting. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But I think he's speaking from his own experiences, and that's just his opinion. We don't have to agree with it. I wouldn't have probably played him. That's without knowing all the details of how much training he's done. On the surface, I think it's a bit of a risk. But we had this debate yesterday, and Tim made some really good points, and most of you agreed with him. So I do have everything crossed for Charlie. I hope he gets through fit. Hope he gets through soundly and is fine to go on and play a few more games and then have a big pre-season.
Nick Caulfield has been dropped again, not for the first time this year. We haven't seen a lot of great football from him this year. Looked like he was making all sorts of advancements last year. But where's he at right now? Is it just one of those setbacks that you can have, form or... Because on what we saw last year, he can play. Like, he can play the game, but he just hasn't been able to get back to that same level of consistency in his play this year.
Where do you think his best position is?
Well, I think he got recruited as a midfielder, and I think that's the only thing they haven't tried is putting him in the midfield. Does he not have an engine? Does he not have a tank?
I think this is the issue, is that he was recruited to strengthen the midfield, and he found a niche on the halfback flank, and now it would appear that he doesn't get a game on either front as a halfback or through the midfield, and that would be a little bit concerning. But he's contracted until the end of 2023, so I doubt whether he's a quality. He's a top 10 draft pick, so maybe they'll just have to reschool him, Wisp, and then just say to him, listen, and this is what is happening at this time of year. Now, St Kilda is still very much in the running, so fair enough, but they're sitting down with players and saying, righto, if you want to be a midfielder, then you need to come back, you know, at the end of December or whenever they come back from pre-season training and show us that you want to be a midfielder.
Midfield fit, you're saying, don't you?
Well, midfield fit and hungry and banging down the door, and every time there's a training drill on, make sure you're running next to Jack Steele. Every time there's a competitive thing on, you make sure you make your way to the number one midfielder and test yourself and put it out there. So I don't know if Nick Caulfield's that sort of kid, but maybe that's what he's got to start doing.
Oh, Hunter Clark, they recruited him for the midfield as well, and he's played sparingly, and he's back this weekend as well.
He got knocked out, but he did make a bit of a transition, though, didn't he?
He did, but they sort of, they're similar, those two, in terms of they've never really been able to nail a starting position in the midfield for St Kilda.
I think Hunter Clark might be a touch ahead. I've got a question for you. What does Cale Hooker being dropped mean?
I would think that for him at this stage of his career, and we know that Ben Rutten spoke about this really honestly a couple of weeks ago about saying, look, he's 50-50 as to whether we're going to offer him another contract. I think they may have moved a little bit on that. But he hasn't been setting the world on fire with his play. The fact that Francis is now available to play, that probably changes that. Maybe I heard them talk about the fact that they've been playing Francis forward and back. Maybe they're going to trial him again as a forward, Francis, this weekend against the Swans.
Okay.
Stewart probably will go to Buddy, so maybe they're still looking at what they can do and what they've got at their disposal going forward. But I think they're going to probably offer him another year, Cale Hooker. But when you get into the twilight of your career, Gary, as we all know, and you get dropped, the alarm bells start to go off.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. A good question by me.
Well, you're patting yourself on the back there with your question.
I asked the question. I forgot that. Isaac Rankin's been dropped. Now, this is a kid who I commentated his first game, and like the rest of the footy world, just went, wow. He
over the top he went, I thought.
Maybe. He kicked three, I think, and every time he went near it, he was just dangerous. He hadn't looked anything like it since.
No.
I know he's only a kid, so let's be mindful of that, but it's a high investment for the Gold Coast Suns. And he has gone, he hasn't improved as a footy player.
No, he's gone backwards. I think he's actually gone backwards. I think they've been trying to teach him to play a different way, and maybe somewhere in his own mind, in his own feeling and preparation, he's trying to do all the defensive stuff, and then all the stuff that makes him a great player is exciting, instinctive play. Maybe that's just sort of left him too much, and maybe he needs to get back to a little bit of that, or maybe he needs to get himself fitter so that he can push up into the midfield too. So that's a tough spot.
Maybe doing the defensive stuff.
Well, maybe not enough, Gary, but those positions, those set positions as those small forward, they're really tough to play. Really, really tough to play. So he has to develop that engine. He's got to prove to them that, you can push me up into the play a bit higher.
What about what we always say?
What's that?
Throw him to halfback.
Well, I guess
beautiful ball user.
You could do all that, and that may be the rebirth of him too next season. But I think that's sort of like for them, it's probably a last resort because he has all this other talent, this match winning, game winning type talent.
I wouldn't throw him to halfback, trying to turn him into a halfback, but from a confidence point of view, just to go back and find he would. I doubt very much whether he would have had more than 15 possessions in a game. Now, he could go back there and get 15 and a quarter. Yeah. And that just can sometimes just be a little change. And then I could be accused then of saying, oh, you're trying to make it too easy for... Well, sometimes you've got to. Sometimes you've got to give them a cheap kick. Teach them how to get a cheap possession here and there.
Not only that, you've got to build... The thing that we often overlook is that players lose confidence in their... Like, we all think they're all confident young kids that come into the game, and most of them probably are when they start, but then they take a couple of hits and they can lose their confidence really quickly. So I think it's a matter of him losing confidence in his own ability too.
Adelaide Crows got a very, very big game on the weekend, Wispy. Very big game. Any danger of you speaking? That's how radio works.
I didn't know that was a question. I thought that was a statement. I thought that was a statement that you were making this morning. That's what I thought you were doing this morning. And then
excellent start.
Then you paused and I thought, okay, he's got something really smart and interesting to say here. And then nothing was forthcoming. Nothing at all. Well, they play the Western Bulldogs, of course. That's what you're searching for. Exactly. That is a big game. Hey,
that's what I was getting at.
No, I know you were. I'll do somebody. There's a Sparky out there that's going to fix this problem that we've got in here. They're going to do it for a signed photo of you on the stretcher. Would you be able to produce something like that?
Get a $1.50 piece of Perspect as well while you're at it, and you won't have a problem with it. Malcolm Blight, medalist Riley O'Brien, great friend of the program, has been good enough to join us this morning. G'day, Riles.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Ah, geez, we're good. It's been too long. We love talking to you. You getting ready for Ballarat? It's going to be beautiful down there for you and the Crows.
Yeah, I know. No, looking forward to going to Ballarat. Matt Crouch's hometown. The weather looks a bit bleak, but now looking forward to getting on the bus and heading up there and hopefully notching up a win against a really good team. But, yeah, we've got our work cut out for us, but looking forward to it.
Did you go to school in Ballarat, Riley?
No, I went to school in Melbourne at St. Kevin's, but I played a bit of sport up there against some Pats Ballarat.
Okay, well, you'll be able to tell the boys about the lay of the land there in Ballarat, how cold it gets, what you need to do to prepare yourself to play in that sort of, or those sorts of conditions.
Absolutely. Well, the crowd, I played there previously a couple of years ago with the Crouch boys, and they get a bit of grief about Ballarat, but we're looking forward to heading up there, and we know how cold it can get, so we're good to go.
Don't worry about the conditions. You're up against a big opponent. But how many long sleeve jumpers do you reckon there'll be when the Adelaide Crows run out there on the weekend?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. We played in Tassie early in the year, and it was sort of frowned upon to wear the long sleeve. But a couple of guys, Paul Seedsman, he wears about 17 layers at all times. So he'll be wearing potentially two long sleeve jumpers. And then a couple of other guys, I'm sure, will don them. But I'll stick it out with the short sleeve.
Don't you dare go the long sleeve. You're our man. No, we need you nicely oiled up with a couple of curls just before you get out there. And you got Timmy English. Yeah. You'll be able to push him around a bit.
He's a pretty good player, Timmy English. He's getting stronger and bigger, and I haven't really had a proper hit out against him because I played him last year, but he ended up playing more forward, and Josh Dunkley played in the ruck. So hopefully we have a proper hit out against each other, and looking forward to that contest because he's a bloody good player with some unique challenges. So looking forward to having hit out with him.
Hey, Riley, how much time do you spend analysing the opposition ruckman and sitting down watching tape and looking at, you know, which leg they jump off, where they like to tap, that type of thing? Do you spend a lot of time on it during the week?
Yeah, a fair bit. With the Doc Clarkson ruck coach, we do a fair bit early in the week, just before training, to sort of get my mind around what they do, especially in the centre bounce, but also around the ground, their habits they sort of do, and what the best way, I guess, of going about beating them. And we look at different opponents that have had success against them. So, especially centre bounce in terms of what the strategy is in there. Spent a fair bit of time watching.
I think it's sort of one of the things that probably we don't talk a lot about during the commentary even of games, how important it is in terms of the techniques used by the ruckman and changing and angles and that type of thing. And I mean, that's vitally important to be able to combat the opposition ruckman, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially when the centre bounce tactics change completely based on who I'm coming up against in terms of a lighter body, a jumper. I'll try and get into their space and take away their space and cross the line and hit their body, whereas a bigger jumper I might hold and jump a bit more straight and try and straighten him up. So, we do a lot of work around that and what strategies, I guess, work in there. And then around the ground, there's definitely different ways of going about it too.
So if Dunkley was to go in the ruck, does that mean, in terms of the pre-game strategy, would it be, okay, that's the time that I have my spell as a ruckman, or do you plan it like that, or do you try and then take advantage of the fact that maybe they've got a smaller ruckman in there and you can actually get a cleaner hit?
Yeah, well, generally I only come off probably once or twice a game. I end up grinding out most of the game, but especially when I'm coming up against a guy who's pretty dominant, like a Nick Nat, I'll make sure I don't want to stay on the ground for the whole quarter and have him come off after two breaks feeling fresh and not being able to match that. So sometimes we do sort of match their breaks to make sure I'm not out of gas when, I guess, they come back on fresh. But, generally I only have one or two breaks and I get a bit of second ruck and the first ruck.
With Adelaide Crows ruckman Riley O'Brien, you've been watching the Olympics, Riles?
I have been. I've been absolutely loving it. So it's been glued to the TV.
What's your favourite? Which one have you enjoyed the most?
Been watching the swimming. I've got a mate from school, Alexander Graham, in the relays. So I've been enjoying that. And then I love Jess Fox in the kayak and canoe. It's actually a very entertaining sport to watch.
Yeah, we've all been enamoured by Jess. She's been just a highlight of a great, fantastic start to the season. Any athletes playing on the Adelaide Crows who maybe, had they chosen a different path, might have been able to get themselves involved in an Olympic team at some stage?
Good question. I'm trying to think of a few. Probably not, to be honest.
No, fair enough. What about if fishing was an Olympic? If fishing was an Olympic sport, would you be in it? Because we've just seen a photo of you and out on Ned McHenry's boat. They look like a tuna to me. Is that what you've been catching?
Yeah, we over summer in Adelaide, down at Victor Harbour, we caught a fair few tuna. So went out and had some success there. So not sure I'd make the Olympic team. I'm a bit of a liability on the boat, a bit big, and my balance isn't great when it starts to get a bit rocky, so I nearly fall overboard. But not sure I'd make the Olympic team. But maybe Ned would. He's pretty switched on with his fishing.
Hey, Riley, settle this argument. Gary and I looked at the photo. I said that it looked like a skipjack tuna to me. He said no, Wisp. It's a yellow fin. What sort of tuna were they that you were catching?
I think they were yellow fin.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Or maybe they'll bluefin. I'm not sure.
Right. Okay. Did you use live bait or were you using artificial lures?
We were using artificial lures. So we had a couple on the sort of the surface and then a couple a bit deeper. So and we were just trolling along and we got them pretty quick. We caught about 15 that day. Had to throw most of them back.
No, it's a nice catch. Plugs or large spoons were you using?
Not sure, to be honest.
I've always did you find a school of tuna? Did you?
We didn't. We normally look for the big bait balls and all the birds are above. Yep. But this time we sort of just trolled off the back and they came to us. So it worked out well.
Did you charge into the middle of the school or did you sort of try and just fish on the edge? I've always found, Gary, that I've caught the biggest tunas on the edge. The big tuna like to stay on the edge of the school, not right in the middle of the school.
Were you using a bullet head lure or what were you using?
Yeah, the bullet head and some squid.
I don't know. Actually, Ned did most of the setting up and I just sort of pulled in the fish. I was just the muscle of the operation. So.
You sound to me like you just walk on and say, Ned, get your stuff ready and give it to me when it's in the water.
He's the brains and I'm the brawn. I just pull up the fish, get him on board and then just, gut him and then that's it.
When you're fishing with Ned McHenry, does he come around and clip you and start sledging you the whole time around?
He does a bit, actually, sometimes. I was a bit useless early days when I went out with him, so he was clipping me. First time I went out, I was trying to cast, and I was smacking the lure into the back of the boat and scratching the boat, so he wasn't happy with me. And but he's not too bad.
How's the study going, too? Because we know you come from a family and I think families of doctors. Is the study going okay?
Yeah, the study's going really well. I've finished a medical science degree.
Yep.
And then I'm doing a couple of master's degrees at the moment. So doing a master's of public health and a master's of neuroscience. So ticking away on that.
So
which is good.
So post footy, what will you become?
I'm hoping to go into medicine and study full time for a few years and become a doctor. So
he's going to be.
What do you reckon he's going to become?
He comes from a family of doctors up there in Horsham. He's going to be a doctor, but I just wanted to know whether or not you're going to specialise in a particular field. That was all.
Yeah, no, I'm not too sure at this stage. I think I have to do a bit more stuff, but I've got a few interests, but I'm not 100% sure in terms of what specialisation I go to. But if I specialise in anything too complicated, I'll probably be 45 by the time I'm fully specialised. So we'll wait and see.
Can you specialise in ribs? Gary's got a buckled rib. I'd like to.
What would that be?
Yeah, no.
Have you seen in any of your medical studies? Have you come across a buckled rib yet? Because there is some doubt as to whether this is a medical condition at all.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of carry on to me. But not sure. Not sure that's a real condition.
Hey. You haven't reached that in your study yet. That's towards the back end of your degree.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's the next subject, yeah.
You played knick-knack a couple of weeks ago. Was there any banter? How did all that go?
It was a little bit of banter. There was always a little bit of hype, I guess, leading into it. But we weren't too bad. We got in a little tussle here and there, but end of the game. It was just a handshake and, all pretty normal now. But we've had an interesting, I guess, couple of battles in that space.
Here's to Nelson. He wants to force this out. Pappenhausen! He's got a hat-trick!
Look out, here he is again.
Pappenhausen! He's going to get four! This is unbelievable!
Going to get four? I thought he got three. Ryan Pappenhausen, he's here for Keyser, struggling with back pain. Now's the time for Keyser. Pappy, welcome to the program and congratulations.
Tim, Gary, thanks for having me on. It's been a while. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
been missed an you. Age.
We've missed you terribly.
We've been working furiously behind the scenes to make sure this deal come to fruition. You must have been thrilled when you put pen to paper.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked with it all. It's obviously a big time in my life to be able to sign a deal for another 3 years, which keeps me here till I'm 27. So I think after this, I'll be able to definitely say I'm Melburnian. But yeah, I'm really stoked and just grateful that the club's given me another opportunity to sign on. So, yeah, it's another 4 years of coming to the studio by the looks of it.
Yeah, and we're happy to have you as well, Pap. Congratulations on getting the bag. Why three? I'm sure they would have offered you longer, did they, or not?
Three was about what they sort of come to me with, and then just a lot of discussing it with my manager. We thought that was a good time, sort of come off contract at 27 and then sort of go again from there. So it's a good bit of security and I guess being at a good club and knowing that Craig's going to be here as well for another 5 years, that was a big part in the decision. And yeah, just that sort of really made the decision easy in the end.
So that announcement came a couple of days ago that Craig Bellamy had re-signed for 5 years. So were you waiting to hear that news?
I guess so a little bit, but we sort of, it was a weird one because I remember speaking to his manager a while ago in the sheds and just talking about how close he was to signing, and then I was like, well, I'm pretty close as well, and then I was sort of just like, the time if it all happened this week was probably a little bit lucky, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. Everything happens for a reason, so that's something that might happen, I reckon.
No. The Melbourne Storm fans would be over the moon to have you both committed for the long term. What was the interest levels from other clubs? You can tell us now how many came at you and who came with the biggest offer.
Nah, there was a little bit of interest around, but it was probably a blessing in disguise that they couldn't actually talk about money or the term of contracts because they can't until November 1. So it was good to know that there was interest, but I think once we sort of got an offer from the Storm, to be able to stay here and stay at a place where I've learnt my craft and where I debuted, and two, to be playing behind some of the players we've got here and some of the signings that have just happened recently here. So yeah, I'm really excited, and that was a big part of the decision of why I wanted to stay on. But yeah, it was just good to know if there was sort of interest elsewhere. But yeah, at the end of the day, I was going to stay here.
Hey, Pab, we've been worried about you. We haven't tried to track you down and speak to you because we knew that you needed some time away and you were recovering. You had a 10-week layoff due to concussion-related symptoms. How are you now? You're 100% fit and well again now?
Yeah, pretty close to it. I think it's just still working through some neck things at the moment. So I'm just going to build a bit of strength back up there. I think that whole whiplash motion sort of threw everything out. So been doing a bit of work with chiropractors, physios, just to sort of build that strength back up. But that'll be an ongoing thing just to do throughout the season, for the rest of the year. So hopefully in the off season I can build it to a good strength again, but yeah, right now it's just about sort of getting that work in just so I can be ready to play games on the weekend.
And does it affect your confidence in any way?
It probably did on the weekend, but I don't know, I just feel good for that sort of run, I think, and because it was sort of a close game, I don't think there's many more situations that you can be put in and be nervous about, so I think I'm happy that I experienced that coming into a close game and having to put my body on the line. But yeah, done a bit more work at training this week in terms of contact and just those sort of little areas that needed to work and improve from last week. So the confidence is a bit higher this week, but yeah, it was a bit of an unknown last week, I think, and I'm just happier that I got out there and then got to play, even though it was a short amount of time. I felt good for it.
Yeah, we're thrilled as well. Just one last one on this. From this point on now, you would understand, as we all do, concussion is a bit of a hot topic at the moment in all sports, contact sports. Will you do some ongoing testing, or is there anything in place just to be able to track exactly how you're going?
Yeah, so
we go see a neuropsych. So obviously had a couple of concussions. So I'll check in with the neuropsych every couple of months. We've done our baseline tests a couple of years ago. So we'll sort of do one of them. That's like a 2-hour test just to sort of see where you're at. And yeah, I'll just keep monitoring that and just got to be honest with the doctors and everything like that. So it's as you said, it's starting to be a bit more prevalent now, and I think the good thing about it is the club's taking it pretty seriously, and yeah, that sort of helps me as a person too, and especially my family. They were a bit scared when it all happened, but to be reassured that the storm were going about it the right way and they were taking care with it just made me feel a bit more comfortable as well. So like I said, yeah, it's pretty serious, and I think they're dealing with it how they should, but yeah, it is what it is, and when you play footy, those things are going to happen. So at the end of the day, if we take it seriously, then I think that's what we can really do.
Well, Pap, we're talking to Ryan Papenhuyzen, just signed a new deal with the Melbourne Storm, so he's extended his contract by 3 years. The figure that's been floated around in the paper today, Gary, the bag's got about $2 million plus in it. That's a big bag. That is a very big bag.
What are you going to do with it all, Pap?
I don't know, buy a few racehorses maybe.
You're into the virtual horse racing, aren't you?
Yeah, got a couple of crypto horses at the minute, so that's good fun. keeping me sane while we're in a bit of a lockdown up here.
Yeah, Tim and I have been flirting with the idea of getting involved with the digital horses, but we don't know how to go about it. Have you got any good ones?
Yeah, so it's taken me a bit, but then we just jumped into like a little syndicate with a few of our mates who started it probably a year ago, and we've actually got a nice colt running around at the moment, Shooting for Gold, and he is the real deal. He had five.
No, he's not the real deal.
No, he's not. He's,
he's a virtual horse.
he's the real deal, trust me. But no, it's pretty much just like an NFT. So I don't know if you've heard about them before, but non-fungible tokens and. They pretty much rate on a platform based off Ethereum, which is a cryptocurrency. So it's all pretty cool and pretty hard to get your head around. But once you're sort of in it, it's like racing and training a real thoroughbred. It's pretty much the same basics. You look at the breeding, you try placing in the right races, and yeah, that's part of the fun.
I got a friend up there in Noosa. I know the Melbourne Storm at the moment are camped up there in Noosa. 15 wins in a row, if you don't mind. I mean, that's how unbelievable this team is. But I got a friend up there as a hairdresser. You didn't pop in there for a haircut yesterday, did you, Pap? You haven't taken the locks off, have you? The mullet's not gone. Tell us it's not.
No. The mullet's here to stay. I went down to Maroochydore actually to get a haircut yesterday. So I've got a barber down there who helps me out. Trims it up. He says he doesn't want to let anyone else touch the mullet. So I guess if he's that passionate about it, I'll have to keep going back there.
How are you handling all the lockdown again? I mean, you guys have become experts at it. Your performance last year to handle it all was just one of the great sporting achievements in recent times. How's it all going this year?
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one this year. We obviously dealt with it last year, and it's probably been more of a roller coaster this year in terms of, are we in a bubble or are we out of a bubble? How long are we going to last for? Are we going to go back to Melbourne? Those are probably the questions that have been asked this year, but it's just the same mentality, really. Just we should have had it last year to adapt and overcome to whatever was thrown at us. So we're sort of hoping we can get back to Melbourne in a couple of weeks. But yeah, as I said, it's always sort of changing. That's probably been the challenge of it this year. We've already relocated twice, and our members and fans definitely want to see us back at Amy, so we're pretty keen to get back there too, and hopefully can get a few games at the end of the year.
Is the club saying to you as a group that there's the potential that you will play a final in Melbourne?
It's a pretty fluid situation. I don't think they want to tell us that in case we don't.
Yep.
They sort of always have, I think, two ahead, and at the moment the plans to play Manly up at Suncorp, and then hopefully go back to Melbourne after that, but we won't find out more probably until after this game. So there hasn't been any talk about finals, but I don't know why it wouldn't be if Victoria's all clean and ready to go.